Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Settle Squad podcast, episode 30, Better Mobility Equals Better Skill Acquisition. This episode covers how a lack of mobility is holding you back in sports and activities you love, and how improving mobility will actually enable you to pick up skills quicker and reach your potential. We all know that feeling of trying to learn a move in our sport or some skill, but we just can't. Our brain understands it, but our body can't do it. So in this episode, I'll do a deep dive on the two elements of skill acquisition, how mobility plays a crucial role, and how to go about working on this for your own sport and activity that you love to do. There's a few separate parts for this, so same to most podcasts, we'll put it into three different sections here. So I have the first one, neurological versus physical. Second one, every move has an underlying movement. And third one, access the move equals access the movement. So once we go through all of this, you will understand what I've said, the title of the podcast, How Better Mobility Equals Better Skill Acquisition. And from coming through this myself years ago, blew my mind. I really didn't know that, you know, that this was possible. So starting off the first one, neurological versus physical. What do I mean by that? So when we are thinking of skills, so learning any skill, these are just man-made words. So basically when your brain is doing anything new from, you know, soccer, GAA, hurling, all the sports that we mainly play. But it can be anything, it can be martial arts, can be random stuff like I've done, like juggling, gymnastics, anything. Learning an instrument, whatever it is, or learning a language. Okay, so all different skills. So when we learn skills, and we'll think more in terms of sports activities rather than, let's say, learning instruments, there's two separate parts to it. So there's neurological and there's physical, because your brain has to actually learn the skill of what you are doing, aka the movements of your body. But then in terms of the physical side, your body has to be physically able to get into those positions. So let's say with soccer, okay, the skill of soccer, learning how to like control the ball, pass the ball, shoot, tackle, etc. You have to learn those skills over time. But there's also the physical aspect of it. You need to have, you know, enough mobility in your hips, for example, in your spine, and those kind of parts of the body, since it's a lower body sport. So let's say if you'd very tight hamstrings, for example, and maybe you can't kick the ball as hard as you want, or you can't get full range of motion to kick the ball far. There you go. It doesn't matter how much of the skill you try and learn. It's the second part that's holding you back, the physical. Like you can do the neurological. Oh, who's this buck outside now? Cheek of him. One second. Think we're okay now. Some guys decided to do some work outside. Might have to spare to kick one of them. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully grand for next 10 or 15 minutes. So where was I there? Go back. Yeah, we're on the first point of the neurological versus physical. So as I was saying, these are the two elements of skill acquisition. And the best analogy here is to think of a kid. And that'll show you the two, because as a kid, we're fine on both of them. Like we don't have the physical barriers of like tightness, chronic pain, etc. So that one's ticked. We're fine. We have the physical freedom to be able to learn the neurological side of it, which is the skill. So as a kid, we pick up things so much more quickly. There's a few other reasons for that too. But yeah, that's a great example of it. Like think of a kid trying to learn soccer versus an adult trying to learn soccer who never played it before. The adult, if they're 40, 50, you know, they're probably going to have some sort of tightness in their body from modern life, and the physical part is going to be holding them back. So that's leading into point number two, which is kind of reiterating the main thing I'm just mentioning there, that every move has an underlying movement. Okay, so this is a great line. It taught me so much. So every move in every sport has an underlying movement. So if you can't do the underlying movement, you can't do the move of the sport. Okay, so we're kind of niching down on the physical part of it. So I'll run through a few examples here of sports. I'll go with jiu-jitsu first. That's what I do. Let's say a triangle choke. I'll keep it very brief for people who don't know jiu-jitsu. But if I was trying to do a triangle choke, but I don't have a good external rotation of my hips, aka trying to put my ankle towards my face, if I can't do that movement with my hip, I get pain or it's very, very tight, I'm really going to struggle to do a triangle. So you can see there, and that was me. That was me. Like, I struggled to do most of these movements, but by working on the mobility, now my body can do the movement, so it can do the move. The movement being external rotation of the hips, the move being a triangle choke. And again, I kind of gave a soccer example in the first one. Same for like kickboxing, any sort of strike in martial art. The movement of the hips is in hip flexion, hip abduction to get the leg up high. If you can't do that stuff because you've tight groins, tight hamstrings, you're not going to be able to do a head kick. So again, really pivotal just to understand that every move in your sport, it has an underlying movement. Some other ones then, like think, let's say hurling, the swing of the hurl, or even in golf, the swing, that needs a lot of spinal rotation, like thoracic rotation. Thoracic is your upper part of the spine. So that needs to be able to rotate very well to be able to do those to the best of your ability. If you have a really stiff spine, really stiff rib cage, you're going to struggle with that. And again, why? Because every move has an underlying movement. The move is the swing, but the underlying movement of a swing is a lot of thoracic rotation, amongst other things. So yeah, that was pivotal to me. Once I kind of understood this, then I could go, I struggle to do these three or four moves in jiu-jitsu. What does that mean? Probably means I can't do the movements. And then once you get the movements, the moves are a lot easier. Obviously, then you still have to learn the skill, but the physical barrier is gone now. And that's kind of leading into the third point then, that once we access the move, we access the movement now. So in all of those, like once, we'll start with jiu-jitsu again, once I get good external rotation of my hips, I've accessed the move my body needs to do. Now I can access the movement of a triangle and I can start training the neurological part of it because the physical barrier is gone. You know, same with the hurling swing and the golf swing that I was saying there as well. Once we have really good rotation of the spine, and there'll be other parts as well that we won't go into, but once you get really good at that, accessing that movement of your body, much easier to access the move, much easier to access a much better golf swing, hurling puck, whatever it is, because now you can just focus on your form, refining your technique, etc., but you're not limited by the physical body. And what other examples that I there? Yeah, like when I went through all of that, I had lots of limitations in my body. Once I went on my own physical freedom journey over like a year, basically got back nearly every movement the human body can do. That's when I started just trying everything, like all these things I'd never done before that I thought I'd never be able to do now. I just tried everything. Like I went back to jiu-jitsu. I was so much better. People were calling me like the flexible guy because I could do all these moves, because I could access the movements of the body. And then like kickboxing, I was able to do head kicks, which I could never do before when I was messing around at home. Did gymnastics, I was able to do things like learn front flips and these other movements too. Like then I went bouldering and climbing, and I was a much better climber because I can get my arms up and then pull my knees up near my elbows to push off. So that's how I learned this. I was just like, how, like, you know, I did the mobility to get out of pain mainly and get back to sport, but I didn't actually understand how much it would affect my performance, like how much it would increase my performance. Hence, better mobility equals better skill acquisition. So really did push it on a lot. Yeah, that's it. Look, a shorter, snappier one there. But the conclusion of that is that, like, if you do struggle with mobility, it's probably affecting you in the sports and activities that you love to do. Like, it's limiting you from your true potential of what you could be, because you can have all the neurological gains, like you can keep trying to hammer this technique, but if the physical barrier is there, it's just not going to happen. You know, handbrake up on the car is a great analogy for that. It's like you can keep revving it, you know, you can install a new engine with way more horsepower, etc. If the handbrake is half up, it doesn't really matter. You know, that's what you should be focused on, getting the handbrake down, then there's no limitations there anymore. And even we'll run through a few examples, like pretty much most clients are great examples of this. Like I literally just pulled out five there as I was going to make this podcast spread across different sports, because I want to show you that better mobility equals better skill acquisition in everything. It's not just like, let's say, jiu-jitsu, what I do, like it's everything. So even with the gym, we had Sean's one here. So yeah, he was doing like bench press in the gym, overhead press in the gym. Couldn't do it anymore with chronic pain and injury. And even like in their reviews, you can nearly even see the lines that's explaining what I'm saying. Where is it here? So I felt like nothing was going to fix me, that I was doing this way because of my genetics. Physically, I'm more mobile than I've ever been now. Chronic pains I had didn't bother me anymore, physically or mentally. I'm weeks back at the gym benching and overhead pressing. Here is the line. Things I never thought I'd be able to do again. So you can see there, links in what we're saying. He'd lost the movements. He couldn't access the movements, which is shoulder flexion, arms up over his head. So because he lost the movement, he also lost the move, which is an overhead press in the gym. And as he said, I've been there before. Then you think you're broken. Oh, I can't come back from this. I won't be able to do this again. It's not the case. You've lost the movement, so you've lost the move. But if I teach and train you how to access the movement, you can access the move again. Just like you've shown there. So that was a good gym example. Then Shane, who was an amateur golfer, he was the golf example. So just like I was saying about the golf swing, where is his line here? Yes, we'd said hip and back pain were gone. He's been able to squat heavy again, which he hasn't been able to do in 4 years. Same thing's happened there, but he hasn't really said it. But you can kind of see it here where he says, Mark also helped tremendously with my mobility for golf. A few movements he gave me helped a lot with my swing. So you can see they're saying this, obviously not in a more scientific kind of detailed way, but you can see there, like, some of the movements I would have given him for spinal rotation, thoracic rotation, really helped him with his golf swing. So I didn't teach him how to play golf. You know, I never play golf, play crazy golf. So, like, he's taking care of the neurological part with his trainers, but I'm just helping him with the second part of skill acquisition, which is the physical part, and he had limitations. So, again, I taught him how to train his body to access the movement of rotation, and now he's able to get better neurological gains and learn the skill better, which is carrying over to his sport. What else had we? We had a jiu-jitsu example here. So, quick one from Mark. Jiu-jitsu brown belt. So, he actually kind of addressed it in the first line. He said, both my shoulders can now rotate like normal, and my BJJ has improved. My strength has also improved. I hit a 45 kg weight, a pull-up. Couldn't recommend it enough. So the first line says it there. Like, both his shoulders can now rotate like normal, and his jiu-jitsu has improved. Because there's a lot of shoulder rotation. If you do jiu-jitsu, Americanas, Kimuras, they're shoulder rotation, basically. So that's it. He couldn't access the movements of shoulder rotation, internal, external rotation. I showed him how to train to get them back. He accessed the movements. Now he can access the moves, like being able to resist Kimuras and Americanas, which was one of the main things. He just had to tap instantly if anyone was getting him into that position. Then we'd another Mark. They're actually both Marco Sullivans, a very random thing. But Marco Sullivan was the jiu-jitsu brown belt. There was another Marco Sullivan who was an ultra runner. So same thing here with him. I'll just skip to his line, which he said, the mobility side of things has had a great positive effect on my running. So again, saying it not in the detailed way, but just through accessing more of the movements of the human body that he needs for running, he could see the positive effect. Like, he'd gone to physio in Malta. I think it was physio of the Malta soccer team telling him too many issues with his feet, you know, need to stop running, blah blah blah. But through this, he got back. He, like, for when he sent me that, it was after a 25 kilometer trail run that he did. Ran a pain-free and surprisingly not feeling too bad now, is what he said in the review. And then he ran a 50k not so long after that. You know, just shows what's possible. When, like, it's very easy when you can't access the movements to be all doom and gloom because you can't do the moves. And then we get told you can't do this again, etc., etc. But again, once you don't settle, you work on it, you train to access the movements, now you can do the moves that your sport requires. I'll finish with the last one. Then I had a yoga one in here as well. Which was with Liana. So she was actually a yoga teacher. And her first line actually says it here. So, investing in this program has helped me hugely achieve yoga poses that I never felt I could do. So, again, that's really focusing on the point there, because she's a yoga teacher. If we think of the two things, the skill acquisition, the neurological side and the physical side, she knows all the neurological side. She's teaching people these poses, like the skill of yoga. But again, she had a few physical limitations. Like, most of them were gone, but she still had a few stubborn physical limitations in her ankles and in her hips. Just certain movements that she couldn't do. So through assessments, through a lot of back and forth, we could identify them. I showed her how to train them. So once she could, again, one last time, access the movements of the body that she needed, now she could access the moves of her sport slash activity, which was yoga. And then she was able to hit some yoga poses for the first time that she'd never done before. You know, and it's just as mind-blowing when that kind of stuff happens. Let's say for Liana, who would have thought, like, oh, I'm a yoga teacher. This, you know, I'm doing the yoga poses. It's not getting any better. Like, you know, there's nothing else I can really do. There is very kind of specific stuff that you can do. So there we go. Loads of kind of different random examples just to show you, you know, what I learned through my own journey randomly, that better mobility equals better skill acquisition. So finish up there. So three ways I can help you. Physical freedom program. That's what we're all talking about there with those examples. That's about overcoming chronic pain and injury, reaching your athletic potential. On the mental freedom course, then, that's how to learn to stop looping and suffering and be able to skillfully navigate your own mind. Lifestyle Design University. That's where we avoid the biggest regret of humanity and design the life true to yourself. For the follow contact, get in touch with me. Instagram's the best place, over DM, or else send me an email to guidedandsettle@gmail.com. And then the website's there. That's the best kind of resource. Everything's up there. Documentary on me if this is your first time listening. I wonder what it's about and all the program info. And lots of newsletters are up there as well, and you'll see the links to the podcasts. Okay, so that's it. Made it through without your man coming back with the drill. Great. So that's it. Hope you had a good week. Don't settle. Live true to yourself. And we'll talk to you next week.